Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a summer this has been. Our science cruise to Alaska has produced a lot of fruit, benefits in scientists and relationships and research projects that are underway. Excited about that. Please make sure you tune in to Real Science Radio through September and October. And with the release of our video, The Global Flood and the Hydroplate Theory, wow, are we getting great feedback from people around the country. It's going to be shown at two creation science groups back east in the coming weeks. We're excited to hear about that. And also wanted to give you an update from our kgov.com/pot page. We are a source of official information on the negative effects of marijuana here at Bob Inyart Live, having done a debate on the topic at the Huffington Post and with one of Colorado's perennial political candidates and presidential candidates, Tom Tancredo, and with Colorado's lead pro-marijuana attorney. We know a lot about the topic. We have probably the internet's best listing of peer-reviewed scientific research showing the negative effects of marijuana, and also the anecdotal evidence against pot, that pot is dangerous. For example, with all the news in Ferguson, Missouri, right, Michael Brown. And it reminded us of the Trayvon Martin case, because in both cases and in other high-profile cases that make national news, the coroners find that the deceased had what? Marijuana in his system. That's true. Michael Brown's autopsy doctor said that the Ferguson, Missouri man had been smoking marijuana shortly before his strong-arm robbery, his struggle with a police officer, and his resulting death. So similar recall with Trayvon Martin, that he had enough marijuana, THC, in his system to cause impairment of judgment. Remember the Miami cannibal, that maniac that was shot to death? Remember that national news story for a while in 2013? That was 2012. The Miami cannibal, who the police, the media, everybody was sure he had to be on, you know, some exotic drug cocktail. And it turns out he turned positive only for marijuana. And also this past year, the 19-year-old exchange student from Africa jumped to his death in Denver after eating a pot cookie, legally purchased, legally in quotes. It should never be legal to do something designed to get you high. The coroner in Colorado tested for 100 different drugs, but could find only marijuana in his system. Remember in, from the Pot Never Kills Anybody file in Philadelphia, the crane operator, the pothead crane operator who killed 6 people? We remember that. It's all at kgov.com/pot. Remember the pothead farmer, the guy growing pot on his own property, and he decapitated himself? Remember that? Because he booby-trapped his own pot plants with a wire around it, and then he gets on an off-road vehicle of some type, and he went through and at high speed and decapitated himself with his own booby trap. And it just goes on and on and on. Another person dies this year in England from cannabis poisoning. A report out this year published in the LA Times, since potheads have slower reaction times, you know, that's one reason people think that they're dumb. It's because they're slow. Say, hey, what's your name? And they got to think about it for a second. Then they tell you. They have slower reaction times, so they're more likely to suffer premature death. George Michael, isn't he a famous rock and roll guy? George Michael, a big-time marijuana advocate, and he's just retracted his support of marijuana after, what, drug driving twice, and now he fell out of a car at going 70 miles per hour. Say, hey, man, I just don't think this is working for me personally. How do you fall out of a car that's going 70 miles per hour? You got to be a pothead, right? You got to be a moron. And so it just goes on and on and on and on. And that's just some of the anecdotal evidence. Then there's all the scientific evidence, including massive studies, landmark studies, you know, leading coroners and announcing their conclusions of decades of work, studies of thousands of teenagers. And it's overwhelming the harm that's brought to people, and especially the younger, the greater the harm from marijuana. Okay. Ferguson, Missouri, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just the system. And so people no longer even hardly know how to think about the types of lawless behavior we saw from Michael Brown and then from the community at large in Ferguson. And that's tragic. ISIS, the Islamic State, we need, of course, to talk about what's going on there in Syria and Iraq. And similar to what Adolf Hitler did when he just couldn't restrain himself and he attacked everyone in every direction, right? And so it made it easier to defeat him because of his own lack of self-control. Wickedness, evil, it tends to expend itself. I don't know, did Hitler attack north? Like, did he go to the North Pole? I don't think so. But he attacked in every other direction. But so with ISIS beheading an American journalist, you know, when Jews are killed, the media simply cannot work up any outrage. They just can't do it. They just have not been able to work up outrage in decades. For when Jews are killed, just no outrage. But let a journalist be killed, let a single journalist be killed, and the media is up in arms. So this, of course, could backfire. Hopefully it will for ISIS. And an American journalist, and America typically is the sleeping giant. When America gets especially angry, then its enemies can be defeated. And that would be a great development. Regarding ISIS, of course, and the number one thing we can do for our nation's defense, our own national defense and our security is to preach the gospel, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our friends and neighbors, even your enemies, family at home and abroad. So you lead one person to the Lord, and it is impossible to know how much good may come of that. He could then, or she could then, lead to the Lord someone who would have been the next famous, infamous terrorist. So national security depends in large part on your relationship to Jesus Christ and, of course, on our community's relationship to Jesus Christ. All right, we have a phone call. We don't normally give out our phone number, but people look it up on the internet. And this is neat. Our number is 303-463-7789. For those in Colorado, for those elsewhere, it's 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. And just before we go to the phones, the video on the global flood that we've just released is getting such rave reviews that we are considering hosting global flood seminars in maybe a few additional cities. This video was a result of the seminar in Indianapolis in December, and that was videotaped, and it's now a high-definition video with hundreds of gorgeous slides. I mean, just a beautiful video to watch. So we may be having global flood and hydroplate theory seminars in a city near you, perhaps. If it's something you have interest in helping to host locally, please feel free to contact Bob and Yurt Live, and you could do so with the same phone numbers, or bob@kgov.com. That's easy enough to email, or 303-463-7789. That's 303-463-7789. By the way, Ark, we have two people on the line. From Plymouth, Indiana, Sean and Ellen. And I think this is the Sean and Ellen that, obviously, that I know. You don't come in pairs, Sean and Ellen, without being friends of Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, nice to talk to you guys. What's up? Thank you for calling.
Well, I tell you, I just want to call in, Bob, and just tell you a big thank you to your ministry for what you've done for my family. We started out, I started out back with cassettes, getting, you know, the different books of the Bible study that you did.
Oh, yeah.
And what a world of difference it's made for me and my family.
Wow.
And then I got the plot. I probably did it backwards. I should have did the plot first. But once I got the plot, it just, like, unlocked the Bible for me.
Well, Sean, a lot of people in our audience.
I just want to encourage people.
Wow. You know, I think a lot of people in our audience don't know about the plot. In fact, I'm going to back away from the microphone, go across the studio, and grab a copy of the plot. It's over here on one of our bookshelves. And here it is. I'll let the audience hear the quality of this. You could hear the quality of that book. Hey, thank you for mentioning this, Sean. We don't talk about it a lot these days. It's such a foundational resource for Bob Benyart Live. The plot, grasping the overview of the Bible, is the key to its details. And if you were getting our Bible studies back when they were on cassette tapes, that means that we are friends for a long time.
Yes, I tell you, we've actually grown even closer since we've been able to visit out in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We came out for summers now. Someone made the mistake of inviting us. I think Ken and Joe did.
Ken and Joe Scott, members of Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, and so we've been coming ever since, and just the wonderful fellowship that we've had. We have a home church that we really love, our home church.
Yeah.
But the pro-life camaraderie and fellowship that we have in Colorado, we call it our Mecca, you know. Everyone should go at least once. Well, we go every year, so we absolutely love you guys. And
oh, wow.
And
what a thrill. Sean, what an honor that you guys have called in. And Ellen, hi, thank you for being on the line.
I was just going to add that the Plot Boys as well is a wonderful tool. I know those boys have grown up and some have gotten married, but I've used it for homeschooling, and my kids have learned so much too from that.
Oh, wow, that's encouraging to hear. I'm so thrilled that you guys called in, Ellen. So the Plot Boys, now people listening, your husband mentioned the plot in our Bible studies, which now, of course, are on MP3 CDs, and we have DVD and Blu-ray of our Bible studies and our sermons. Many of them are available via download. But the Plot Boys is something really special. There were two young guys who are now both married, Josh and Stephen, and not only are they both married, Ellen, but when after they had come into the studio, I think the Plot Boys are 32 sessions, I think, if I recall correctly. 32 one-hour sessions studying the Bible with, I think Josh might have been 13 years old when we started, maybe 12. And we went for a couple years, and Stephen was maybe a year older. And both of them have been in full-time Christian ministry, which is so extraordinary, so rewarding. They're these awesome young men of God with beautiful families and now children of their own. So it's been so rewarding to see how they have done in their lives. Wow, what a thrill.
Right, to be able to rightly divide the Word of God is priceless. To understand God's Word, when I started out as a Christian, you know, 25 years ago, Bob?
Yeah, Sean.
You know, I started, you know, studying doctrine, but I never really got the big picture until I read the plot.
Well, you know,
and it just unlocked it for us.
Hey, Sean, what's so interesting is this common experience that so many Christians have. You know, if you go on Facebook and you make a statement about some form of Christian theology, some aspect of it, if it's about the end times or the Sabbath or speaking in tongues, eternal security, or whatever terminology you want to use for that, or on and on, dozens of different issues, you find out real quickly that Christians disagree with one another on many doctrinal issues. And so what I noticed is that we can be experts in our idiosyncrasies. in the particular emphasis or teaching of our church or our denomination, but we might not have a good overview of the whole Bible. And if you don't have a good overview of the whole Bible, if you can't put your particular interest in the context of the plot of the Bible, then you're really not on solid ground, because God teaches us through the historical accounts in the Bible, and those accounts tell an amazing story, and there are also plot twists in the story of the Bible. So we need to know the story and the plot twists so that we can better understand the details of the Bible, and there are many, many details to understand.
It's absolutely true, and in teaching our kids the plot also enabled them to understand, to where they, I mean, it's shocking to say that, and they're not like super special or anything, but they absolutely understand God's word better than some pastors now.
Well, first of all,
just because of that.
Sean, first of all, they are super special, right? You're just being humble about your own kids. I've met your kids and they're extraordinary. But yeah, we've noticed that too with so many of the young people at Denver Bible Church. Their interest, their awareness level, their love of the Bible, their eagerness to study the Bible. It's just so awesome to see.
Oh, it's certainly an encouragement. And also, if speaking of encouragements, we have you guys and Ken and Joe and Scott and all of the folks that were ministering out on the sidewalks at Planned Parenthood.
Oh yeah.
Thank for Ellen. For years, Ellen was saying how God was tugging at her heart to start. See, up in South Bend near Notre Dame, where you're familiar with, there's an abortion mill up there that they do 3 days a week. They do abortions, and God was telling her to go up and start a sidewalk ministry. There was a few people out there maybe praying, but not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until we started coming out to Colorado that Ellen got the nerve, because she's not a self-starter as far as a big organization or anything. She wanted to move to Colorado. She wanted us to move out with you guys and because it's already all set up. And so I told her, well, God already has people in Colorado. I think he needs some up in South Bend. So with that encouragement, she started with you guys. After we got back from Colorado in 2012, she started going one day a week. And a Christian lawyer, I know there, we found one, okay? A Christian lawyer said
right.
He bought the building right next door to this abortion mill, and he started, he renovated it. He's got an adoption agency there. There's a bunch of different pro-life organizations that he got started there, and she's the director. Ellen, what's it called? The director of Sidewalk Counseling.
Sidewalk Ministry.
So,
Sidewalk Counseling.
Ellen, what a thrill that, you know, your interest growing through your relationship with pro-life activists out here in Denver, and that it's led to your work there in South Bend. Wow. And right outside of the Notre Dame campus, which is tragic that would be a center for the abortion industry. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, Notre Dame campus is very pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-Obama, which is just a symptom of those other sins. And so, but
right,
I'm so
right.
Thankful that you're there.
Oh, it's, you know, it's a blessing to be able to, first and foremost, serve God, be faithful to him. Because, you know, like I said, like Sean said, you know, God kept pushing me to go, and I kept pulling back and thinking, you know, I just want to move, I want to move. And then once I was faithful and did what he said and went up there, you know, just a lot of stuff started happening. You know, women changed their minds. I've got to be at the hospital with girls after they've had their babies, and, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate a couple first birthdays coming up of these little kids that would have been aborted. And I'm just so thankful that I said, okay, I'm just going to go where you're sending me, Lord. Not, you know, not that I wouldn't want to be in Colorado, because you guys are family to us. So, but they need us here too. So
yeah, you're not kidding. So could you tell me about, what was the first year you came out to Denver? When was that?
That was, we went to the Grand Canyon in 2010, and on our way back to Indiana, we came up through Utah and past Grand Junction and came into Colorado around Memorial Day weekend.
Wow. And so now you are involved in ongoing pro-life activism ministry there. And could, Ellen, the babies that have been saved, could you give us an example of one time a baby was saved and then put it in context for us with the overall work there?
Basically, actually, on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, my daughters and I and a good friend of ours was standing outside the abortion mill, and a mom and a dad, a married couple, pulled in to abort their child that day. And we called out to them and said, "We can help you. Please don't do this." And my friend said, "Mom, get your precious baby and leave this place." Well, the gentleman came over to us, and I started talking to him, and he basically said that they were in a bad situation living in a home with a parent, with his mom, and drugs and people in and out of jail, and they just got their own house. Lady that was going to abort, which was his wife, had a job and found out that a couple other women lost their job because they were pregnant. And she didn't want to lose her job and lose her home and put her, she had two other children that were in this home with people coming in and out of jail. Mm-hmm. And they had just got their own place. So basically, she thought she was going to get fired from her new job and they were going to have to go back into a bad situation. And I told them, I said, "Oh, I've got a Christian lawyer," which is the gentleman that got me started with the Life Center director of this ministry. I said, "He can help you." And so he went, the dad went in, got the mom out of there, and they came out, and I talked with him. And then from that point on, I basically kept in touch with them. They chose life for their baby that day. And they called me as soon as the baby was born, a little girl,
Ariel.
And September 9th, she'll be 1 year old.
Oh, my.
And so I go over and I visit them and bring them diapers and, you know, help them as we need to help them, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just so thankful. But the one thing that really got me was sitting on their living room floor holding their baby when she was just a month old and the dad looking at me saying, "You not only saved my baby's life, you saved my marriage." Because that day I was going to leave her because she was going to kill our child. And I was so thankful to God that he put me out there, that I was faithful.
Oh, my.
That I was willing to speak up for those kids.
Oh, my. So often abortion comes right along with the destruction of relationships. That's so common, of course. You know,
yes.
When you kill your child, you can't expect to have a nice life and things to go well. To go after that hope, you kill a child in the process. So you're undermining your ability to love God, to love your neighbor, to love your husband or wife, and your family. You're just destroying everything that's important when you kill an innocent child. So, Ellen, thank you for that. Wow, what a story. And that little baby now can enjoy life and enjoy mom and dad who in a loving family, thanks to Christians who were there at the gates, basically the gates of hell right there. And so how many children have been saved there since you have been doing this, Ellen?
42
children. Wow.
Well, they typically said they average about one per year before that.
In other words, Life Center there. You know, when you mentioned that there were people there, Ellen, who would pray, but they wouldn't open their mouths. I mean, it's great to pray. It's good to pray. The more people that go to abortion clinics to pray, the better. But it's so vital to share the truth that leads to life. It's so vital. You don't want to keep it a secret. It's like having the keys of eternal life and saying, "I'm never going to tell my brother or my sister. I'm just going to pray for them." So that's not...
Right. A fine example of that, Bob, is I had a man and his wife. Well, the man approached me in church one Sunday and brought me down in the basement and said, I need to talk to you. And he said that he brought his wife there for an abortion. This was before he became a Christian, came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said, I saw somebody out there praying, but they didn't say anything to me.
Mm.
He goes, I was just looking for someone to say something so we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that there just told me we need to speak up. We need to be the voice. We need to share with people that there is help and there is hope.
Right. Yeah, so, what I've said, you know, I think it's best when women speak, but when there's not a woman speaking, thank God that there are men speaking. And what I have said is there are people who will love you with your baby. You don't have to get rid of your baby to be loved. You don't have to kill your baby to be loved. There are people who love you, people who will help you. So, wow, Sean and Ellen from Plymouth, Indiana, what a thrill. Thank you for ministering there at Notre Dame.
Thank you for your ministry, Bob.
Thank you for all you do, Bob.
Well, you're very welcome. We love you guys. So, hey, a concert coming up. Singers from NBC's The Voice to sing at a Voice for Brady concert Saturday night, October 11th. Be there. God bless you.